I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events and the lesser told stories, ones you might not even know happened. Find History This Week on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
All right, welcome back on a Tuesday morning, election day. The polls have been open for a little over an hour now. Hopefully you have made your plans to go vote. We're still ahead. We're going to talk to Senator Denny Hoskins, who's running, of course, for Secretary of State. Will Scharf, a candidate for Attorney General, is going to be on with us this morning. We'll get to all of that for you coming up here on the Mark Cox Morning Show. And a little later, we're going to talk to Ryan Schmelz, because Vice President Kamala Harris, now the nominee, is expected to pick her own vice presidential candidate today. And if that happens during the show, we'll bring it to you. We're not sure when that's going to happen. But first, I wanted to talk for a moment about something that might have flown under your radar, and that was this antitrust case that Google lost. This is kind of a big deal if you consider how much search engine traffic Google deals with globally. It's pretty amazing. Lydia Hu from the Fox Business Network has been covering the story today and was kind enough to give us a few minutes. Lydia, good morning.
Hey, good morning there.
Yeah, how big of a deal is this? I mean, don't they control like 90% of searches in the world?
Yeah, this is a very big deal, and it's been a long time in the making. It will have consequences not just for Google, but for other big tech companies. Think about the companies that make our smartphone devices, Apple and the like, and also all of us, how we get our information. So let me back up. This all started almost 4 years ago when then Attorney General Bill Barr filed this, you know, action against Google. Alphabet is the parent company of Google, and basically said, hey, we're taking a look at how you maintain your dominance in this search space. And almost 4 years later, we find out, you know, they're paying billions of dollars. Google is paying billions of dollars to various companies to ensure that they are the default search engine on your, you know, you're on your internet browser or on your smartphone device, you know, on your Apple. When you get that new iPhone and you open it up, what search engine is there? It's Google. They're paying something like $26 billion to these companies to make sure that happens. And the judge decided yesterday, hey, that's illegal. That's a monopoly. You can't do that, Google.
Well, and what's scary about all of that, about Google having that monopoly, was that, for example, last week, I think it was, if you were to go to Google and type in the assassination of, none of the results that you would find even said the assassination attempt of Donald Trump. It was like all random results, you know, so they have such control also over what they, I guess, put in there. You know what I mean?
Yeah, totally. It's such a good point, because we're seeing this decision being celebrated by so many different corners of kind of like the tech information system ecosystem. You know, of course, the obvious group are like the competitors to Google, the other search engines that are out there that are kind of fledgling, that are like, yes, maybe we get a chance now, right? But also, to your point, Kim, we're hearing from, I guess you could call them, a coalition of publishers, news outlets, that are saying, look, having diversification in search engines and search results is going to give publishers, news organizations, and others more control over the information that is shared with the general public, the inquiring minds. It's going to take away the power from Google to basically dictate what information is shown to people when they're, you know, executing inquiries.
And coverage and filters, right? I mean, I know there was a time, and I can't swear that it's still like this, but if I wanted to search for an article on any given subject, but let's just pick Trump as an example, the first 8 or 10 results would be Axios, Politico, ABC, NBC. If you wanted to find an article from Fox, for example, you would have to include the word Fox in the search line, in the Google search, because they're filtering those results. And I don't know if this has anything to do with that or not, but you talk about the power to control the information people are receiving and the type of information, that's kind of shocking.
Yeah, it is hugely consequential. Yeah, I mean, and you're right. I think it's important to note that, you know, the phase that we just concluded of this proceeding about Google, that was 4 years in the making, focused on liability. You know, was a law broken? And the judge said yes. So what's going to happen next, which starts in about a month, is, okay, what do we do about it? Yeah. Does Google pay a fine? Does Google get broken up? Maybe we have to take that search engine component of its business and move that away from other parts so it operates independently. Maybe it's that we're going to require, cell phone manufacturers to provide a choice to users. Do you want to search Google or do you want to search Bing? Do you want DuckDuckGo? Yeah. Maybe in the future this is going to open something up for AI, ChatGPT maybe. You know, it's just kind of coming into existence, but maybe that's going to be a real opening here if we are going to be forced to consider, you know, options or to Google alternatives. You know, is this another opening for artificial intelligence and search? You know, so still a lot to unfold. Google, you know, vows it's going to appeal. So it's not clear what's going to happen next. And I think it's safe to say it will be years in the making that what comes next. But this is a big decision, a landmark decision at this juncture.
Well, Lydia Hu, thank you for filling us in on all that. We appreciate it. Thanks for your time.
My pleasure.
You bet. Lydia Hu from the Fox Business Networking. I mean, it's like the name has become it's become something we all just default to, right? Like Band-Aid. Give me a Band-Aid. It's like a
Kleenex.
The brand. Xerox. It is. Yeah. Yeah. That's just what you think of. I mean, let me Google that.
Yeah, let me
right?
Google that. Yeah.
And Google the power they have. I mean, I'm sure your phone is listening to you right now, but if you mention a product, it shows up in your search later, your Facebook page.
I mean, even if I'm typing in now the assassination attempt of on Google, it's nothing is mentioned about Donald Trump. So, yeah, and I don't know if I articulated that question well, but I mean, that's my point is, like you said, the control that they have and the censorship and all these things that a lot of people, unless you're paying attention to it, you might not even think twice about.
It's consequential. It's consequential on the country is what it is. So hopefully they address that for sure. Coming up, we've got Ryan Schmelz is going to join us here in a few minutes. He is covering the, people waiting with bated breath. Will it be Josh Shapiro? Will it be Tim Walz? Who will be the vice presidential candidate? And in 3 days, nobody will care. But today they care. And there are a couple of interesting choices. We'll talk to Ryan when we come back.
Follow the show on Facebook, facebook.com/TheMarkCoxShow.
But I would say with Shapiro, there's some real dangers there. I think Schermichael's onto something, because if Harris were to pick Josh Shapiro, the Hamas wing of the Democrat Party is going to lose their minds. It will cause real deal problems, not only in Michigan. When you look at Kamala Harris's fellow squad members, AOC, Ilhan Omar, Cori Bush, all the radical elements of the Democrat Party, they're going to have a massive issue. Josh Shapiro has been a very strong supporter of Israel, not going all the way back for some 30 years. He's been very outspoken on this. That does not sit well with today's Democrat Party. It's a massive issue.
Yeah. Jason Miller there with his commentary on Shapiro. I mean, Shapiro and Walz both have some issues. It seems like it's kind of down to those two. I don't know. Let's check in with Ryan Schmelz from Fox News Radio, has been covering this story this morning. Ryan, how are you?
I'm good, Mark. How are you?
I'm doing all right. I understand, according to other reports I've listened to, there really haven't been any leaks. Nobody really knows who this is going to be at this point, right?
Yeah, and it seems like that's usually the case whenever there's a big announcement like this, whether it's somebody declaring their candidacy or they're announcing their VP pick. usually the campaigns do the best job possible to keep it under wraps so it all comes out at one time and nobody gets the scoop or gets to it first.
Yeah, yeah. So are those the two names you're hearing most likely, or are we thinking there might be some surprise candidate we're not including here?
Yeah, I'm hearing Waltz and I'm hearing Shapiro as the two leading candidates. I think there is still a chance that Mark Kelly does get some type of involvement here. But, you know, based off the Reuters reporting yesterday, he has been pulled from the list. I just wouldn't rule him out completely just yet. But it does look like, it as of right now, it's a two-person race.
I'm wow. just surprised that it would be Tim Walz still in the running, the Minnesota governor, because she certainly yeah. does not need Minnesota. I feel like it would make way more sense to pick like a Josh Shapiro for her.
Yeah, I mean, you know, got to think that Wisconsin and Michigan are going to be valuable states, and he does have a Midwestern voice. But like you said, he's probably the more progressive of the candidates who are on the final list of candidates. He's somebody who has been a pretty solid attack dog for the Biden-Harris campaign. And you know, he's really leaned into the weird talking points that Democrats have been using as of late. So I think there is a chemistry thing that factors in here, where it seems as though the Harris campaign has really vibed well with Walz. And that's why he's been a little more, you know, considered than we initially thought he would be. And I think, too, this is somebody who's gotten a really big boost from his own state delegation. You know, Democrats in Minnesota have really been pushing for Walz to be considered. And he's also got, from what I understand, a lot of support from Nancy Pelosi as well.
Uh-oh. She may confirm or deny that later. I don't know. We yeah. never know with Nancy for sure. So what you know, I'm looking at, obviously, Harris had some momentum here. At the yeah. first reports were that they would have to go to the convention for her to actually get the nomination. And then, you know, I take a few days off and I wake up this morning and I hear that technically she's now the nominee, right?
Yeah, so they did what's called a virtual roll call. They did this during the COVID era. Pretty much all the delegates meet virtually. They submit who they want to be president. And then right once that person has enough delegates, they make them the official nominee. And that's pretty much what happened with Kamala Harris here, is that Democrats did their virtual roll call and they made her the nominee. What's interesting is that they wanted to do this with President Biden a couple weeks ago, back in July. But there was pushback from a number of Democrats who had petitioned for this to be pushed all the way until the convention time. They didn't, you know, give them what they wanted in terms of pushing it back to the convention, but they did delay it until August. And then President Biden eventually dropped out. Harris became the presumptive nominee, and now she's gained enough delegates to become the nominee.
Yeah. Yeah. So, Ryan, is there like a news conference this morning? Do we have any idea when they're supposed to make this announcement?
I've heard it's going to be through a video.
Yeah, on social media, right? Isn't that what they're going to do?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, so just keep refreshing Vice President Harris's campaign account, and then eventually you'll probably see it up there.
That's the way all big announcements, I feel like, are made these days, is via social media.
Yeah.
It's certainly, yes. I think some of those ones like that, yes. I think it makes sense in this regard because, you know, they're expected to appear later today at a rally together for the first time. So that the idea is release it during the day, appear at the rally at night in person, and then just kind of go on this blitz that they're scheduled to go on.
Yeah, but it's also true that she really has not had a lot of press availability. Everything's been really controlled since she was sort of pushed forward as the nominee.
Right. Yeah, she's done a bunch of appearances. Certainly, they've gotten really good crowds, and the fundraising's been very strong. But she has not done a sit down interview. She's not done a press conference yet. So I wouldn't be shocked if she does a major network interview probably in the next couple weeks.
Yeah, imagine that. All right, Ryan, thanks for your time.
Hey, thank you, Mark. Have a great day.
See you later. Thank you. And who would anybody want to take odds on who that hard hitting interview might be with?
CNN.
Ooh, could be.
Or ABC.
Jake Tapper.
You know, she says she'll do the September 10th debate, but Trump's saying, no, I want to do Fox on the 4th. She's like, I'm still going to show up on the 10th.
Well, and they'll give her a free hour of TV if she does that, right? I mean, this is the garbage of it. ABC has basically endorsed Harris, right? And they're happy to give her a one-hour town hall. Mm-hmm. And say, Trump didn't show up. Well, Trump didn't agree to a debate with Kamala Harris.
Right.
He agreed to a debate with Joe Biden. And now he's trying to negotiate a different debate with her, and she's trying to stick to the old plan. So it's just pure politics.
Mm-hmm.
There may not be another debate. Who does that benefit, do you think?
I think that would benefit Kamala Harris to be. I think it would. Because if she has to go up there and it's unscripted, I think that would hurt her.
Thank you.
So.
I don't think there's any doubt about that. I think Trump's going to have to cave at some point and agree to a debate in order to get on the debate stage with her. And, you know,
he's going to have to cave, I think.
If they get to control everything about her, that improves her odds of fooling enough American people to get elected. Wow. Coming up, we're going to get to Aiden Johnston from Gun Owners of America. It's 2A Tuesday. We'll talk about that New Jersey court ruling on AR-15s. We'll be right back.
Federal judge ruled today that New Jersey's ban on AR-15 rifles is unconstitutional. The judge said his ruling is a result of the Supreme Court precedents and suggested that Congress and the president could do more to curb gun violence. 9 other states and the District of Columbia have measures similar to New Jersey's ban. New Jersey has some of the strictest gun laws in America. New Jersey's attorney general says he will appeal.
If you ban them in the future, the bullets will have been shot and there won't be any more available.
So you don't shoot deer with a bullet that size? If you do, you could cook it at the same time.
Put that double barrel shotgun and fire 2 blasts outside the house.
That is without a doubt the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
This is 2A Tuesday, brought to you by the Range St. Louis West.
All right, Aiden Johnston with us this morning from Gun Owners of America. And Aiden, great to have you back. How are you?
It's great to be here. I'm doing very well, thanks.
Yeah, you know, the Second Amendment is always on the ballot because the people we elect today in the Missouri primary, I'm sure there are other elections maybe around the country, but the ones we elect today in the Missouri primary, some of them are going to Congress, some of them are going to end up in the General Assembly or the governor's office, and we have to know that those people have our back.
You're absolutely right. I mean, the Second Amendment is incredibly contested in these elections. There are always politicians who want to take away your Second Amendment rights. So it's important that gun owners get out and vote because there are millions of gun owners who don't even vote every election, let alone vote for their Second Amendment. So definitely, if you're listening and you own a firearm, please go out and vote for your Second Amendment rights.
Amen. Amen on that. Let's talk about this New Jersey decision. I think this happened when I was actually took a few days vacation last week to go fishing, and I tuned out of the news process. But what I'm reading here on this case in New Jersey is that the judge, they have an assault weapons ban. They call it an AR-15 ban in New Jersey, just like they have over here in neighboring Illinois across the river. And this judge found exactly what I expect the Supreme Court to rule when it gets there, the Illinois case, is that this was unconstitutional under Bruin and Heller.
Yeah, it's nice to come back to some good news for once. This judge did rule that the ban on so-called assault weapons was unconstitutional. And both Heller says that you have a right to have a firearm in your home, so the government shouldn't be able to ban you from having an AR-15 in your house. And then Bruin actually says you have a right to carry that firearm for self-defense in public, which the New Jersey Supreme Court or the New Jersey judge did not say quite yet. But it did also rule that if a law is going to be held constitutional, then it has to comport with the text and the history of the Second Amendment. And the text clearly protects the right to own an AR-15. That right shall not be infringed. And also, the Founding Fathers did not restrict the ownership of military-style weapons. Unlike what Biden says, you could own a cannon at the founding. So clearly, this judge, in ruling that AR-15s are protected, was complying with Heller and Bruin.
Yeah, yeah. Well, did gun owners play a role in this particular case?
This is not our lawsuit. This is the lawsuit from another group, the Firearms Policy Coalition, and very well done to them. We have our own lawsuits also in different states. We're particularly fighting that Illinois assault weapons ban, which the Supreme Court did not decide to rule on yet, but may still take up by the time we get back on appeal. So.
Yeah.
There's other cases pending on assault weapons. There's a lot of movement. There's a lot of great precedent that the Supreme Court has given us lately. And so there's actually some hope for gun owners if we're able, that we might be able to be successful here.
Well, it just couldn't be any more clear to me. And this ruling spells it out very clearly for the case in Illinois as well. If I live in the state of Missouri, I'm free to go to a gun range, pass a federal background check, and buy an American sporting rifle. Just across the river, Americans who live there are not. That is an infringement upon their Second Amendment rights, that they cannot go do that. And I'm frustrated that it's been around as long as it has, and J.B. Pritzker keeps rubbing people's noses in it.
Yeah, and they're really, American citizens should not be living in a two-tiered system like that, where some states you have a Second Amendment and other states you don't. It's been totally infringed upon. I think that's awful, and I really don't understand why the Democratic Party wants to take away these lawful Second Amendment protected self-defense firearms. I mean, people use these firearms to protect their homes, to protect their families every year. It's very important that we not disarm people, especially in a country with as much crime as we do. But nevertheless, the Democrats seem to want to let criminals run loose and instead take away your firearms and blame you, the law-abiding gun owner.
Yeah, yeah. I saw there was an alert that, which is interesting because it came out of Pennsylvania from gun owners, because the Governor Shapiro had a gun control bill, but most of the funding of that was eliminated from the Pennsylvania budget, which is which was good news, right? I mean, because this guy might end up as the vice presidential candidate before the day is over.
No, absolutely. I mean, it's extremely important that every single year our lobbyists and our teams are combing through state legislature budgets. I'm combing through the federal budget that they're trying to put together right now to find all those gun controls, because there's always some legislator who slipped in something into the hidden report language to try to enact some gun control. And we have to expose that, call it out. Gun owners have to actually hold their elected representatives accountable by sending emails and postcards and making phone calls. But then we can actually get stuff removed. And that's a win for the Second Amendment. So don't only vote after the elections. You still got to hold your politicians accountable.
Well, it's a good point. I would direct people to gunowners.org, because you guys are really on the front lines of a lot of these legal challenges around the country. Aiden, thank you.
Yeah, no, thank you. We appreciate it. And it's been great having me on.
Yep, great having you, buddy. Thank you. Appreciate that. Aiden Johnson there from Gun Owners of America. This thing was interesting, because I don't know if Shapiro ends up getting the nod from Harris today or not, but he's another one of these progressive, just like J.B. Pritzker, left-wing governors, who has an Office of Gun Violence Prevention. He's picked an inanimate object and attached its name to violence. How about an Office of Violence Prevention? Because it might be a knife, or it might be a pickup truck or a car that they run over somebody with. But that's not it. It's all aimed at, like, there wouldn't be an Office of, you know, free speech violence prevention. But they're willing to go after your Second Amendment rights. And that's why I keep hammering on this. What we do today at the polls matters. It's not a multiple choice test. You need to elect people that are going to go up and defend that. And particularly in Congress, right? Because Shapiro, if he is to get elected as vice president, will continue to push this agenda along with Harris in Congress, in the Senate, trying to pass a ridiculous ban on a modern sporting rifle. My modern sporting rifle has shot rabbits. It shot at a coyote one time and it missed. I don't know how that happened. I mean, but it's never jumped out of its safe and shot at a human being. Isn't that weird?
That is shocking.
It is.
Yeah, I thought a lot of guns just did that.
I've been keeping an eye on them for a long
time.
They're jumpers. And I've never seen one do that. Hmm. It's the strangest thing. It's a phenomenon the left needs to wake up to, for sure. All right, coming up, what are we talking about on Kim on a Whim today?
We all know that feeling when we're trying to get the job that maybe we don't really feel qualified for, but one guy, man, he got really, really desperate. And now he...
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events and the lesser told stories, ones you might not even know happened. Find History This Week on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Really? He's regretting what he did to land the job.
Coming up in just a couple minutes. Stay tuned.
He's got the ammo. Mark Cox. Kim on a whim.
Some people will do whatever it takes to get a job, even if that means they're not at all qualified for it. And these days, things are it's just getting easier and easier to get that job. You just say that you're trans, or in this case, that you're gay, and boom, you've got the position. This guy writes into this advice column, Dear Jane, I actually had not heard of that, and says he was basically desperate for a job, had nothing left in his bank account, goes in to get this job for in a marketing role, knew he wasn't qualified for it, so he's like, I'm really hoping my personality just kind of sells it, which we can probably all admit to at some point. Well, anyway, he says he starts...
I don't know what you're talking about. Uh-huh. I don't have a personality, but go ahead.
Uh-huh. No one here listening would agree with that, Mark. Says that the boss interviewing him ends up disclosing that he and his son were going through a rough patch because his son had come out as gay and didn't think he handled it in the best way. So this guy interviewing was like, I don't know what made me do it, but I decided to tell him, yep, I'm gay too. This boss ends up getting totally interested in the story. At the end of the interview, gives him a hug, says he was grateful that he shared his story, says he could tell he was a good kid who needed the break, and guess what? Offered him the job on the spot.
First of all, what boss would bring that up in a job interview?
I don't know. Somehow it came. I mean, I've not heard that from a boss, but I feel like I'm the kind of person where I will get in some of those conversations with people. I like the deeper conversations. So not that I'm saying that would come up, but I could see myself talking about something like their life in an interview and not just sticking to here's the role. Here's what it entails.
Did you mention what the job was?
Something in marketing.
Just a marketing job.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, now he's worried that his boss is going to fire him when they find out that, oh, yeah, actually, he's not gay, and he just lied about that. And the advice from this woman, Dear Jane, was just pathetic. She says that because sexuality is on a spectrum and nothing is fixed, that what you should do is just start telling your coworkers that recently you've been feeling attracted to women as well. So she's like, it's not really a lie, but not really the truth. So just say you're bisexual, and then people might even have more empathy for you because they're like, wow, he's really confused. He like the ultimate DEI. You know, is that not so sad that you just say you're gay and that's enough to tip the scales in your favor and maybe land you a job that he even himself admitted he's not qualified for?
Yeah, and I know this. I mean, I'm only saying this because it's the word they use. And I don't know who they is, but they use, which is cisgendered. So if you said in that interview, well, I'm cisgendered and I there would be no empathy for you whatsoever. Because cisgendered is the same as normal. So therefore, they would have no empathy for you, I'm assuming.
No, because you're an oppressor.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
That's it.
How did I forget that?
You have to remember these things. Ask the left. They're going to make sure they hammer it in your head. It's like what we've been talking about with this Lifetime Fitness fiasco in Ellisville. You know, Channel 4 reporting on it and talking about this so clearly a man who slapped on red lipstick and somehow managed to change his driver's license to female. They're like, yeah, and she had her Lifetime membership terminated. She did this. I'm like,
Heiress.
No. He did that. He was walking around naked in front of women and children in the women's locker room.
A transgender woman. Channel 4, here's their second line. Heiress Montano said she wanted to get in shape and was glad that Jim allowed her to change clothes in the women's locker room while they're showing video of a dude in a dress. I mean, even their viewers aren't fooled by that. Nobody's fooled by that. I'm sure all the stations covered it exactly the same way. I don't want to just pick on Channel 4.
No.
That just happens to be the coverage I watched of it and picked a recording from. But they're all PC. Fortunately, that wasn't the thing when I worked there, that we weren't that stupid yet, but the media's moved into that arena where they now can't stand up and say, I'm not playing this game. That's a man, and I'm not referring to him as a her.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care what her driver's license says or his driver's license.
Can you believe that Missouri somehow allows you to request a change on your sex, your gender, and they'll do it?
Without some proof that your gender has changed?
I guess.
I mean, that you've had surgery? of some sort?
Yeah.
You're living a lie? I don't know.
This is so random, but I was reading the Bible the other day and talking about Joseph and how his brothers, he's reunited with his brothers. And the way that they determined, yes, you are in fact my brothers, you're Jewish, would be, okay, drop the pants, because circumcision, that was the big thing, you know? So that's clearly what they have to do. We're going to get to that point. Bring back the biblical times with Joseph, and you need to drop the trousers and prove to me that you've had your little surgery. Would not classify you, in my opinion, as a woman. Sorry, yeah. You've hacked it off. That still doesn't give you XX chromosomes.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't.
Guess what? You can't change that. It doesn't matter how many surgeries you get. You can't change that.
But then you can go box and win a gold medal.
You know, both those men, male boxers, are guaranteed medals now.
Oh, yeah. I know. Sickening. Trump yesterday said he would guarantee that would never happen in the L.A. Olympics if he gets elected. So just November really, really counts, folks. Coming up, we'll talk to Senator Denny Hoskins running for Secretary of State. And you can learn more about him if you've not heard from him. And Will Scharf at the bottom of the hour at 8:35, running for Attorney General.
Get more at 971talk.com.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events, major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories, the unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.